every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAFA or any of them there, guys.
Or any of the Anons.
Nope, we don't speak for them neither. We don't even speak that well for ourselves.
Clearly.
As you're about to discover. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Shelley, you sound like you have brownie in your mouth.
And your point would be?
That you have brownie in your mouth.
Okay.
I'm just letting everyone know at home that we have brownies. Fresh baked brownies.
They're not very good brownies.
No, you know what? And I thought the Pillsbury brownies would be good.
These aren't the Pillsbury. These are the Duncan Hines. I had a box already.
Oh.
So I was using the box I had before.
Oh. Well, there we go. Maybe we should have used the Pillsbury.
Maybe.
We got time.
Yeah.
Go. Southern California brownie tasting.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. See, I'm a brownie fan anyway.
I'm powerless over brownies.
B.A. Brownies Anonymous.
You may be powerless over the brownies, but do they make your life unmanageable?
They could.
Just around the middle.
just when I'm trying to button my pants.
Yeah.
So.
What?
Oh, my God. It's that time.
What time would that be, Bruce?
Already?
Well, what would you like to banter about, Shelley?
Hang on. I'm about to get ready.
Hold it. Hang on. You're about to get ready to banter? Wow. Well, you know what that means, Mark.
What does that mean, Bruce?
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Whoops. I had a bit of a faux pas with a dude. I was out of practice.
Not even close.
Yeah, compared to me, your dudes suck.
What? I thought you always said I had lovely dudes.
You do, until my dudes came into play.
Wow.
Bruce has a dimple next to his dudes.
That's right. My dudes have dimples.
Okay, we have stories from Fran, Bill, Deborah, Donald sent one in, and lots from Bill, actually not. And this little whatever it is kind of story from Bruce, I'm not exactly sure where you want to go with this story, but you can go ahead and lead off with this about the... what do they want? The teenage exorcists?
I don't know. I just sent it to you. I didn't read it.
Oh, thank you so much.
You said you read all these and
okay,
you report
this is
on them.
Okay, this is in Phoenix, Arizona. There's a preacher named Bob Larson who has what he calls his soldiers in the war between dark and light. Now, I'm pretty sure I know why Bob has these soldiers because I saw the picture.
They're 18-year-old girls.
They're all 18 and 20 years old, and they are the exorcists in his war against demons. And these are three young little hotties, and he is like a 65-year-old preacher. Who better to go into the pits of hell with you than a bunch of hotties?
77 of them?
Well, no, he's only got three.
Oh.
But he's planning to build his demon-waging army with online courses.
Oh. Now, what's interesting about the guy, though, because I did read a little snippet about it.
I was gonna say, I thought you didn't read it.
Isn't he, he's like one of only X number of people that are actually trained by the Catholic Church to do
it. He isn't trained by the Catholic Church. That's why the Catholic Church is ticked off.
Oh, I thought he was.
No, he is not. There are only 14 priests, or, well, some of them are bishops and cardinals, that are ordained by the Catholic Church officially to fight demons and do exorcisms. Not anybody can do it, apparently.
Well, now let me ask you guys this. Does that creep you out in any way that an organization as large as a Catholic Church believes enough in the fact that people are
possessed
that they have 14 guys that are trained to do it? It just it seems a little creepy to me. Well, because for a long time, they didn't talk about it at all. Like, they'd be like, no, no, we don't do that. Now it's like there's 14 guys trained to do it.
Are they training new ones, though?
I don't know.
I don't... I would imagine so. I mean, it's not that the Catholic Church didn't want to, that they wouldn't do it, or that they didn't believe that it existed or whatever. They didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a growing industry.
Well, don't they have
especially
to,
with
like,
the zombie apocalypse coming.
Yeah.
Well, don't they have to, like, in order to even do an exorcism, there has to be, like, certain criteria that
yes,
are met?
There has to be a set of conditions in which...
Yeah. Somebody
church,
has to be possessed, first of all.
Yeah,
but doesn't it creep you out that the Catholic Church gets enough calls of people that pass all the criteria that they need 14 different guys to do it?
It actually seems like a small number to
that
me.
It does, to me, considering all the people I know.
I watched a thing of Ghost Adventures the other day, and they had a Catholic priest on it that did an exorcism, and he says he does them all the time, and I'll bet he's not one of the 14.
Well, if you would
how
like
would you know?
Become...
Huh?
How would you know?
I'm just guessing.
Oh.
But you think it'd be likely... That, and they were in, like, some podunk town, dude. It just seems unlikely that they would have come across
you know
one of
really,
the 14
you know really funny?
In the world.
I think that most people who get possessed are in podunk towns.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Where did Reagan get possessed? And I don't mean Ronnie.
No, that was, like, New York.
Yeah. Stigmata. What about the girl in Stigmata? She's in New York, too.
I thought she was in L.A.
No.
Oh.
You... New York.
How about the right? Was it some little thing in Italy or something?
Emily Rose. Where's Emily Rose?
Emily Rose.
Okay, first of all, we're talking about fictional things here.
Emily Rose is
it
not
could
supposed
happen.
To be fictional. Emily Rose is not supposed
right.
to be fictional.
That's right. Emily Rose is supposed to be the true story.
At any rate, if you would like to be, now that we, you know, we can...
Okay, yeah.
Okay, we, be,
we can
yeah.
move
we be,
on.
Wait, we could be one?
If you would like to become an exorcist, you can, or you can... If, I'm sorry, not if you would like to
do
become
Do we have
one.
To be 18 and hot?
Yes. Not if you would like to become one. If you would like to find out whether you are possessed, you can go online. You can spend $9.95 to take his online demon test. It's 21 questions, and you will find out if Satan or his minions are possessing your body.
You know what the question to this is? Will this guy's gals come over and suck the demons out of me?
No, they apparently don't do that.
How do you know?
No, I don't. I'm just
what
guessing.
What is the procedure?
Jeff,
it doesn't say
money,
in the story.
For enough money, I'll bet they would.
Wow.
I'm
okay.
clearly possessed.
You are.
This story's gone on way too long.
You picked it.
Yeah. Okay. No, I didn't. Bruce sent it in.
You
I
picked
sent
it
in. Yeah,
but
you
select which news stories get done, Shelley.
Yeah, if I don't pick
this was
Bruce's
all your
stories,
fault.
I end up hearing, well, I sent you one. Okay, this story is in San Diego. We were talking about zombie apocalypse. We've got a lot of a zombie apocalypse, apparently, but this is the last one, I think.
San Diego. It's German.
San Diego. There is a company called the Halo Corporation, which is a security firm. They are hosting a training exercise for actual people in the military.
To do what?
To fight the zombie apocalypse.
Well, that would be effective.
It's actually a real exercise. It's going to be attended by hundreds of Marines, Navy special ops, soldiers, police, and firefighters. And it says, in order to prepare them for their worst nightmare.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that creeps me out a little bit. That they're actually sending special ops guys to zombie killing training class.
Well, the reason why they're doing it that way, they say...
I'm buying a gun.
They're presenting it as if it's like... the zombie apocalypse. Like the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, put out a pamphlet a few months ago entitled How to Survive the Zombie Apocalypse. But what it really was a manual on what supplies you need to have in your house if there's an emergency. But it was couched in such a way that people would think it was fun and might pay attention. This is kind of like what he's doing.
They think they need to convince the Marines it's fun?
Yeah, I guess so.
To kill things? I don't buy it.
How do you kill things that just don't die?
Well, you chop off their heads.
Okay. Yeah, usually shoot them in the head.
But anyway, the whole thing is tons and tons of, like, you know, high high stress emergency scenarios where there's like a federal emergency or something, and how do you deal with it? And they're presenting it as if it's a zombie apocalypse to try to train these people in like gross crowd control or something.
How about
I don't
the company,
know.
Hornaday Ammo? They sell Zombie Max ammo. You can look it up on YouTube. They've got commercials and everything. It's got green gel in the front of it.
Yeah.
When you shoot it, you know, like guns, you shoot it through the front and it makes a little hole. It comes out the back, it's a bigger hole.
Yeah.
Damn, this thing makes a little hole in the front and like takes the entire back of the watermelon off. It's like really disgusting.
In Tokyo.
Oh.
The March 2011 gigantic earthquake that caused the tsunami and the nuclear power reactor problem.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, Japan has been saying that, you know, everything's fine, everything's safe for a while now.
Yeah.
They have the area in the ocean around where that main, the Fukushima nuclear power plant is, is off limits.
All the fish have four eyes now?
Well, they are highly contaminated with cesium-134 and 137, which are nuclear fuels. And
they're really pretty when you cook them.
The sign that probably they glow multicolored, they glow bright green. Now, the power company said that there's no danger, and some parts of the government are trying to claim that there's no danger anymore. However,
what does Greenpeace say?
Well, they won't go there because everything's green. But the, what is it, the Oceanographic Institution of the United States said that the radioactive levels were extremely high, and some scientists in Japan have gone, you know, what do they call it? They're
public?
Not
rogue?
I don't know if it's rogue. They're whistleblowing, saying that even though, yes, it's been over a year since that happened, almost 2 years, that is still leaking radiation into the ocean.
How long before that water gets over here on
it's
the California
here.
Coast?
It's already here because we had a story a couple months ago that they detected higher levels of radiation in larger fish.
Oh, man.
What?
And I love sushi.
I know.
They don't get, the fish for the sushi doesn't get caught much off the California coast.
You know what, though? If you eat radiated fish, could it help stop cancer before you even get it?
No, it might cause cancer. Radiation as a cancer, radiation is a double-edged sword. It can cause cancer and it can help stop it, depending on how you use it.
So you have to eat a lot. You have to eat a lot of sushi then.
The important thing is
you have to eat enough to get the cancer and to kill the cancer.
Yeah. It depends on how you do it. So if you eat it, what happens? It's a study we need to do. There's probably funding for that study too.
We should go fishing for a year, and get paid to do it.
And that's what I think.
Well, I've got a frog in my throat.
Ribbit.
Bud.
Wiser.
In New York, well, actually, the story is out of New York. It was published in New York. this was sent in by Bill. Two drugs that are used to treat alcoholism may be appropriate for people that are also...
Johnny and Walker.
Addicted to narcotics.
Tell me one of them's anabuse.
No, neither one of them are anabuse. One is a camprosate, which is Campral, and naltrexone, which is Revia. They're non-addictive drugs that don't make sick when you're
drinking.
When you drink. So like people that are... Wait a minute. There's something wrong with this story.
Yeah, right from the start.
Yeah, like there's something wrong with this story because it's claiming a drug is treating alcoholism.
Well, true. There's something wrong with this story. I've cut off part of it.
Okay.
I think this is the one where
but
these
you
are
read
the,
it all.
I did. That's why I'm saying there's something wrong with the story. I've cut off part of it because the two drugs are actually diabetes drugs.
Really?
Yes. And
I've never heard of either one of them, and I've been a diabetic
they're
38
for,
years.
For a type 2 diabetics.
Oh.
In the trial, the original trial, they did 64 people. They've already, now the drugs are already approved by the FDA, so we wouldn't have to wait for further approval. But they are doing a trial. The first analysis out of the first 64 people that they've tested with this, 63 of them have been able to dramatically slow down their drinking or stop altogether. Because it interferes I don't know, with receptors and crap.
Yeah, what happens when you stop taking it?
I don't know. It doesn't say in this little snippet that I managed to cut off.
Well, I'm just thinking if you stop taking it, then you start drinking again? Or?
Oh, your blood sugar goes way up.
Yeah.
Okay, the viral photo of the week. Everybody should go online and take a look at this because it's really, it actually is quite an astonishing.
Why don't you just tell us about it.
If it's viral, should I have already seen it?
It's starting to go viral.
What is it?
Off the coast of Australia, South Australia. Some oceanographers from the Fox Shark Research Foundation were chumming tuna, you know, pieces of tuna in the water to try to bring the sharks to the boat so
they
could study their swimming patterns. They got a large female mako shark that came around, and the guy said he had his camera and all his diving gear on, and he said, "I knew it was the chance of a lifetime," so he jumps in the water with the shark and takes pictures of her.
Mm-hmm.
But the pictures are, I mean, if they were to blow the picture up and do, like, the 3D image thing, it would freak everybody out. He got pictures, like, down her throat. And she wasn't really attacking him because there was so much tuna and bits of tuna in the water and stuff. She kept going for the food, but she kept trying to bite the camera out of his hand.
I'd call that attacking him.
Well, no, it's like, I don't want anyone seeing me while I eat or anything. It was just, but the pictures are really startling.
Well, some of them don't like their picture taken when they're pregnant.
That's true.
There you go.
So you should definitely go and take a look at those.
Shelly, did you actually look at those?
Yeah.
I thought you were like deathly afraid of sharks.
Well, shows them pearly.
Kind of, but not kind of sometimes. Well, it depends. I have to be in a certain mood. Anyway.
Like drunk.
Okay. It is now official. No one that is in recovery and is serious about their recovery can take a vacation to Italy.
Why?
Ever. It's over. Can't go to Italy. And anybody who's in Italy just went out.
Why? It's one of the places
I'm going next year.
How much alcohol is in the air?
No, it's not alcohol. It's marijuana and cocaine.
Yes. What?
In the air?
Yes. In 8 cities. Bologna, Florence, Milan, Naples, Palermo, Rome, Turin, and Verona.
I'm going to half of those.
It's happening, though, to get stoned in Bologna because there's munchies.
You would have to inhale. You'd have to, like, practically hyperventilate to get any, like, effect or anything. But the fact that it's a measurable amount in the ambient
air.
There's
going to be a lot of smoking going on to make it a measurable amount.
Yeah.
That ain't going out.
Well, yeah, but I'm kidding. Jeez, don't be serious.
It could be crazy here, Shelley.
But a measurable amount of cocaine in the air?
That's a lot. I would imagine if you're down in South America, well, there's parts of Pomona that are probably like that. Parts of MacArthur Park.
So when it rains near the baking soda factory, does that mean?
Oh, man.
Just smoke whatever comes out of the end.
Oh, brother. All right.
It's a lot of weed in the air.
How many more stories we got, Shelley?
Oh, well, we've got tons, but some of them are for the next show.
Okay.
We'll do the last one for this show. A Scottish brewery, because, you know, if it's not Scottish, it's crap.
It's not Scottish, it's crap.
Has developed the world's strongest beer. The alcohol volume is 65%.
That's a hell of a beer.
Pretty strong beer.
Yes.
They've named the beer Armageddon.
Armageddon lass.
Armageddon. You can buy one bottle is £40.
That's like $55.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
For a bottle of beer.
The brewery recommends that people consume this, and I'm quoting, like a fine whiskey. In other words, tiny bits at a time.
So it's 65% or 65 proof?
It says 65%.
Whew. So that's 130 proof.
Wow.
That's a hell of a beer.
You can use your beer to flambé things.
You could.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, and that is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We have a topic.
We do.
What is it, Mark?
I don't remember.
Remembrance?
No. Oh, yes.
No, yes.
Remembering the last one.
Remembering the last one. Now, Mark, I've heard you share before in a similar fashion to this about remembering.
You know, I've shared about it several different ways because I remember the one where I hit my bottom. But it wasn't my last one, but it was close.
Yes.
Because it wasn't the last time I ever got loaded.
Good point.
Also, though, to be honest about it, I don't think I got loaded that time either. I sure tried to use enough of it to get loaded, but it wasn't working. You know, I mean, I've shared about my last run, 4 days, $8,000.
Which my last run would have been $4,000.
But I did. But I did. I used after that. But I knew I was done after that.
Right.
You know. So it's kind of, you know, I've shared about that. I've also shared about the importance of remembering what got you here. Because even though it's more important what keeps you here, but it's important to remember what got you here. And it's important for me to remember that. Well, look, it's sort of like the thing about coming to the rooms and coming into meetings is that you're around the only people who can truly understand what you felt like the day before the first day you got sober.
I've heard you say that many times.
Because that's the key, you know. That's what draws us all together, is when one of us shares about something. I know how you felt the day before you got your first day of your continuous sobriety. I know exactly how you felt. You know why? I felt the same way.
As did everyone.
We all had that feeling, out of dope, out of hope. It ain't working.
Out of money, out of luck.
Yeah. You know, we've all had that feeling in our lives, and we know it, and people who have not experienced that have a hard time relating truly to what we're talking about.
The husbands, the wives,
yeah,
the bosses. How about you, Shelley?
What about it?
You have that deer in the headlights look, even though you've been sitting here during this entire discussion.
Med 6?
No,
Shelley won.
Because you said the remembrance thing, and I started thinking of a hymn called We Remember You, and that's what's been playing in my head while you guys were talking. So what I'm hearing is, wah, 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 because...
The Charlie Brown thing.
Because...
Sounds like my first AA meeting.
I'm actually singing a hymn in my head. What are we talking about? The last drink?
Yeah.
Oh.
Remembering your last...
I remember both mine.
Both your last ones?
Yes. Well, because I had the last one, which was the night before Easter. Well, it wasn't really, it was Easter morning. It was like 3, 4 a.m. in Easter morning. You know, Bruce caught me drinking out in the garage. But then the last one was 6 months later. So, and that
she
one.
She chugged an entire
vodka bottle.
Yes, a 1 ounce airline bottle. And not only did I remember that one, but I had to see it twice.
Once going down and once coming up.
Yeah.
Because it came back up like 10 minutes later. So my body just said, no, I don't think so. So,
how important do you think it is to remember your last?
I think it's very important to remember your last one, because if you don't remember your last one, maybe you haven't had it yet.
Ooh, that would have been a good closing line.
Wow.
Well, it's not my line. But I got it from somebody else.
That's okay, though. That opens up a whole new part of the conversation.
That's true.
Yeah, because what I love are when you ask somebody, like a newcomer that comes in, and they say, well, you know, I've been sober for a little while. Okay, well, what's your sobriety date? Well, I don't really know. It was sometime in March. What do you mean it was sometime in March? Well, I think that was about when I started. How do you not remember the last one?
Blackout.
Because, well, even if it was a blackout, you would remember the day after. You would say, you would come to and realize you were done.
You would think.
That would be the day. I mean,
that's usually the tip-off that someone's not
really serious.
Not really sober.
Yeah.
I've got 3 or 4 years.
We've heard that. We have heard that.
I heard that from one of my friends' girlfriends.
Yeah.
I have 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Because there's times when I know how many days I have if I go look it up on one of those sobriety calculators. See, my last one was, my last one was just not exciting. Quarter gram of speed. That was my last time. But, like, to Mark's point, an earlier one, which I shared about at the panel tonight, a time I overdosed on coke as one of my last times, that was extremely impactful on me, and I remember that clearly, and that made me get sober that one time. But it wasn't my last time. My last time was wholly uneventful. Didn't really get that loaded. Didn't do any more after that. It was only a quarter gram. It was kind of like, eh, just my gut, get up and go, got up and went. And I just didn't have the wherewithal to do it anymore.
Can you recall, though, before you quit, when it quit working?
Yeah. It's hard to say that for me, because it depends what you mean by quit working. Because, you know, you slam something like speed, you slam it, it pretty much works. I mean, now, it works as if the drug takes effect and you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't getting the joy and pleasure out of it. And I would say that happened years and years and years before I actually quit.
Years.
And I don't remember.
Sound like Mr.
Ed
answering that question.
I don't remember the exact time when it stopped working. But I know it was years before I quit. How about you, Shelly? You remember when it stopped working?
Well, I remember about 10 months into my last binge, I actively started trying to stop drinking on my own. And I spent 8 months waking up just about every morning swearing I wasn't going to drink that day. Because that was after I'd lost the notebook, so I wasn't keeping track of how much I drank anymore.
Oh.
And when that happened, all the rules were gone, so it wasn't like, as long as I quit drinking before you came home from your meetings. It wasn't, because before then, it was like, I could only, you know, I would drink 1 week, then I wouldn't drink the next week. Or I would drink on this day, and then the next day I was off, and the next. But after I lost the notebook, it was like the brakes were off, and I drank every day, and I lost the notebook at about 6 months into my binge. So about 4 months, it was just hell on wheels. And at about 10 months into the binge, I started trying to quit drinking on my own, and every single day, it wasn't working. And I got to the emotional desperation, you know, your fingernails crawling up the side of the pit, feeling probably at about a year into the binge, and I still drank another 6 months after that. I mean, and it was emotionally, I don't ever want to feel like that again. I can't even describe that kind of despair. There aren't any words.
You just found 2 minutes worth of words.
Huh?
You just found 2 minutes worth of words.
No, to describe the feeling.
Oh.
There isn't a word that's desperate enough to describe that feeling.
I understand that.
Well, I think most of us do. But when you try to explain that feeling to a normal person,
no,
they don't get it.
They don't get it.
Not going to happen.
And there's no way to make them understand that.
Hmm. How about you, Mark? Can you explain what that feeling is like? I mean, to those that would understand?
We do. We explain. I mean, it's been said by thousands and thousands in the meetings. You're sick and tired of feeling sick and tired.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a pretty good descriptor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, it talks about it in the big book, where it says Bill W. is at what they called the jumping off point. That's the point where shit is so bad. You're like the on the edge of the cliff going, I'm at the jumping off part.
Yeah.
I either die right now or I try and do something different. And I was there on a couple of occasions.
I'm either gonna hit the ground and die or learn how to fly.
There you go. Shelley.
Yes.
What would your final words on the remembrance subject be?
If you want to get and stay sober, make it, pick a day. Make it today. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Don't forget that day.
You sound like a Weight Watchers commercial.
Well, because if you forget that day, you're going to get another day.
You're destined to relive it.
You're going to be, it's going to be like Groundhog Day.
Oh my God. You
in
know what?
Recovery.
Groundhog Day is like perfect for alcoholics. I remember like I'd wake up every morning and it seemed like the exact same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Every third day.
Yeah.
And do you want to relive that last day before you get sober over and over? I don't think so.
How about you, Mark?
I think I did. I think I relived that day over and over before I got sober.
No, I mean, like, get sober and then relapse and have to do all over again.
God, no.
Yeah, no, not so much.
Yeah, no chance. Wouldn't want to do it.
So what are your final words on the subject? I think it's
what Shelley said early on in the show, you know, pick a date you like. You'll be more apt to keep it.
Yeah, I probably won't quote it right, but I've heard it said if you can't remember, you know, your last drink, you're destined to relive it or something like that.
Yep.
And I remember my last one clearly. Yeah. 1/4 gram, just not, it was, as far as bottoms go, wasn't really. I mean, it wasn't in a drug way. I didn't have a last bottom, but emotionally and spiritually, I was just done. Done. Stick a fork in me. So, Mark, who are our friends back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
Runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can go up onto recovery101.net, which is our site. You can scroll down to the 12-Step Gazette link. You can click it. Take you right to his fine publication, which you can read online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription.
I love that.
Yeah, I know.
Still do.
And he'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have an Alano Club, Recovery House, Sober Living, place where many of us sick gather, let Bruce know about it, and he will fire you out some issues that you can strew about the location.
Fire you up.
He'll set you up.
Shelley?
Yes?
Wow. What was going through your mind this time?
Which song?
Same song. We Remember You.
Wow.
It's a song for communion.
Okay.
OC.
So someone wants to listen to the show.
I'm sorry.
And they've heard us before?
Yeah, really? Yeah. Really?
Some people.
They go to recovery101.net, click on one of the shows. If you are a member of Podomatic and you click on like, thank you. That helps us with our numbers. We really appreciate your assistance. If you are not a member, a little box will pop up and allow you to become a member, and it's free. You should do it. You can
do it.
Follow us. You can find out when we post the new shows via email. You can click like and leave comments on old shows. You can leave topic suggestions. And playlists. You can put us on playlists.
Yes. And you can also click on our sponsors.
Yes.
Go check them out. And our bands, our lead out bands. You can always go click on their link. It'll take you to either a Facebook page or one of their other pages. You can, you know, go there and find out how to buy CDs and stuff.
Yes.
We've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/... Oh.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com facebook.com/recovery101. Rule 62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
Because we sure do.
Yeah, right.
Shelley, who's the lead on music by?
By Eva Love.
Eva Love. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Strip me away of all of my things, leave me with nothing to spare. Take all I have and leave nothing unturned, leave me with nothing but air. Take it away, take it away, I'm tired and I fought all I can. Tried holding on, yes I tried for too long, I'm letting go, letting go of everything. Take it away from me, take away everything, or leave me with nothing but me. Nothing can hold me back, if there is nothing left, breaking the cycle of me. So I let it all go, just let it flow, see where the story would end.